that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a ball for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live this morning, this February 22nd, 2020. And we've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Jonathan.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us this morning, and hope you're well and blessed, and hope you have your coffee, hope you have your Bible, and hope you're ready for some fellowship and we'll see which way we go after our prayer. And John, we'll look to you to open us up in prayer and get us started, brother.
Sure. I want to start out with Psalm 91, which I hope all of the remnants praying every morning, especially with all that's going on in the world. There's probably not a better time to be praying this prayer daily. Psalm 91, the warrior psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. And no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. We thank you for these promises that you've given us, not only in this psalm, but throughout the Bible. Father, we know that your word says that you're ready to punish the disobedience of those that hate you and hate your people when our obedience is complete. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to come to that place of obedience where we love you with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. Father, we know that we can't get to that place without your help, without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we ask now, just as your word says, we have not because we ask not. We're asking, Lord. We're asking for more Holy Spirit. We're asking for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. We're asking to hear you, the Lord. We're crying out, Lord, for in an appeal to heaven for you to save America again. Father, the terrors have become more bold and brazen by the day. They don't fear you anymore, Lord. They don't fear what can happen when they turn their back on the God of this world, the God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father, they turn to the God of this world. So Lord, we ask for grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We can see, Father, that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers, that the things that were done in the dark have been brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops and continue to be on a daily basis. And Father, we continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, and we see that as well, Lord. Just this week in the demon rat debate, Lord, we can see confusion in the camp. We can see them turning upon one another to devour one another, just as we have been praying. And Father, we are starting to see some righteous judgment. We continue to cry out, Lord, for righteous judgment, that those in positions of authority would understand that they one day will face the chief judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will hold them accountable for every word that protrudes out of their mouths. And Father, let those that can come to repentance. Remove the scales from their eyes, unstop their ears. Let them hear and see the truth, and that they'd fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness, Lord. We know that our job as followers of Jesus Christ, not just Christians, is to fulfill the Great Commission and share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would give us those opportunities, that you would put those people in our paths, that you would send your ministering angels ahead of time to prepare their hearts and minds and souls to receive the truths. We pray for those guardian angels, Lord. We know that you have myriads and myriads of angels. We ask that you would send those guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and send your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places, as they know that their time is limited and they can see their evil, wicked, vile plans being destroyed. We thank you, Lord, that you are a compassionate God, and that you are a patient God, and that you have not given up on your people who are called by your name. So, Father, we pray for the fulfillment of 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will forgive our sin and heal our land. It's in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ, we pray these things, believing that they shall be so. Amen.
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 Exciting times that we're living in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That locust hatch that just happened 2 days ago.
Where's that at?
Africa. East Africa. They had another hatch in the videos. They just released the videos about 2 days ago, and I'll tell you what, it's just amazing. So far, 23 people died from the infestation, basically going across. They're saying that they don't have enough food right now, but with this going through, they said it's just devastating crops, everything that's in its past. It's really something, and it's kind of interesting because it's not all the time you hear about these infestation of locusts, but this time this one is a big deal over there, and it's even all into Europe too. They're having basically it's a different type of locust, but it's they're having locust infestations over there as well that are just sweeping the nation.
Yeah, that's something this morning. Go ahead, Tim.
No, you go ahead, John. That's fine. It'll wait.
I saw something this morning. I didn't really look into it, but said that China had released 100,000 ducks ahead of the infestation of the locusts to consume the locusts. But I don't know. Did you guys see anything on that?
No, I know.
But given the numbers of the locusts that we're talking about and their breeding schedule, I mean, it's just amazing how they, one to 1,000, 1,000 to, 100,000. I mean, the numbers are just crazy when you look at how fast they, and it's all based on how much food they have. And, they just move right on. So, like Jason said, this is the second hatch and it's huge. I mean, it makes the first one look very small.
Now, they said that it was worst infestation that they've had in 70 years, which is kind of a significant number.
I heard of one comment about it being an infestation of biblical proportions.
Exactly, and those are the mainstream heathen news sources that are saying that.
These are guys who wouldn't quote the Bible, to save themselves from hellfire, but it's a biblical proportion.
Yeah, when it's that evident, even the like you said, Tim, even the heathen, they understand. They know. The Word tells us that they know God. They see Him every day in the sunrise and the stars at night, and they just deny Him. But there is no denying it when you have something like that. Ecclesiastes talks about being nothing new under the sun, and what has happened will happen, and what is happening has happened, we have this book of instruction, and when we see these things, some people see it for what it is, as you mentioned, Jason. Some don't. Some are just, well, it happens, and they'll hatch out and till they eat the food, and it happens every so often and whatnot, but. Yeah, the greatest infestation in 70 years, that is amazing. And that should cause people to wake up and to see, especially on top of everything else that's going on in the world today.
Yeah, absolutely. Did anybody see where the Boy Scouts of America had signed for their filing for bankruptcy?
Yeah, I did. That was pretty sad.
Yep. I thought so, too.
I haven't been a Boy Scout.
Yeah, they ran a big full-page ad in the newspapers. I saw one in the USA Today apologizing, basically. And that's sure what it looked like. It wasn't a lot of big flowery words. It was just a... But I know they had done that. Now, where they go in the future, who knows? There have been a couple of groups that have stepped up, to try to fill the place, but nothing to the scale that the Boy Scouts have. Tim?
Well, the saddest thing to me about Boy Scouts is the real Boy Scouts of America are, well, they're men now, but John, men like that could step forward and fulfill Christian responsibility and roles in America. The purpose of the Boy Scouts was to, God, family, and country, and to bring those things up. I mean, You know, they bent the everything around on that to the point to make it some kind of political pandering, and this is the result of it. I mean, it's just a sad thing. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's also righteous judgment and an indication that God's still there. You can't take that stuff and do it like that, because this is what will happen when you try to use it for evil, or you try to bend it around. And the young men that are now older men and have put themselves in that position benefited from that, and the power and authority and the deeds will still go on. I mean, this isn't the Boy Scouts that's filing for bankruptcy, unfortunately. You know, it's not the and the words are the same, the definition is not.
It's,
that's what we see.
It's very symbolic, I think, of our nation. You know, you can't sin and get by. A person can't sin and get by. None of us can. And a nation can't. And a company or an organization can't. And when you try to embrace, like the Boy Scouts did, oh, well, we have to embrace the homosexuals and allow them this and allow them that and yield to that rebellion unto God, because that's just what it is. There's no end to it until it's destroyed. And that's, I think, what we're seeing. And it is, I think it's reflective of the state of affairs in the nation. Like you said, for God, country, and family. Well, those are the three things that the enemy hates. And they've attacked it. And without a good, solid foundation on Jesus Christ, the attack wins. And we see that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's been their goal all along, to steal this organization that takes boys and teaches them about God, family, and country, and teaches them to be men that respect God, family, and country. That's what the enemy hates.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that they hoard themselves for money, you know, when there was big sponsors that basically said, just like you were saying, that, you know, either you accept homosexuals into your ranks, or, and women, you know, girls now, the girls are wanting to be Boy Scouts and all that. God's not going to reward that.
No.
It's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting, but it's also sad. You know, I'm sitting there at basketball games, and you talk to people about the things that are going on in the world and the churches, and basically explaining to them that it's really the church's fault that we're in the place that we are, because they all hoard themselves and become accepted and tolerant of sin under the guise of grace. And they're like, yeah, but they really don't have a choice, because they, you know, their memberships are dwindling, and if they don't become more like the world, then they're going to lose even more people. And I said, who says that? I almost guarantee you, you know, God's word is that if you remain faithful to me, I'll remain faithful to you. So how about you try to put your faith, you know, where your mouth is, and let's get some more fire and brimstone preaching, some truth out there. Sure, it might thin the ranks at first, but God's word is true, and they can't see that, and it's disheartening, really. And these are people who've been in the church for years, been elders, deacons, some even pastors. They just,
yes,
you know, they try to defend the fact that they've become lukewarm, accepted and tolerant of sin under the guise of grace, and they can't see that God's promises are there. If we remain faithful to Him, then He'll remain faithful to us. And for those who call themselves Christians to have trouble with that, that's concerning.
Yeah, we brought out a few.
Yeah, it was July 27, 2015, and that's when Boy Scouts of America, they vote to allow gay scout leaders, followed by a big speech and a presentation by the leader that today's vote by the National Executive Committee of Boy Scouts of America, BSA, to end organization's decades-long policy and practice of excluding openly gay men from membership in scouting marks yet another milestone in the march towards LGBT equality in our nation. As a result of this reform, which is to take effect immediately, gay men, bisexuals, lesbians will be able to volunteer and participate in the BSA without having to hide their sexual orientation or their commitment to relationship. The organization will cease discriminating in employment based on sexual orientations. And it goes on and on and on. But basically, when they did that, that was the downfall of it right there. That's
absolutely.
Where, you know,
yes.
That was it right there. They signed their death warrant on Boy Scouts of America when they published that.
You're right.
Well, and I remember.
And now,
remember,
now they're reaping the consequences. Exactly. Yeah. Because now the reason that they say that they're filing bankruptcy is because all of the lawsuits. Gee, I wonder why they have so many lawsuits.
And they didn't have that before, huh?
Yeah. Sorry, Tim.
Yeah. Imagine that. I remember us talking about that back. You know, that's like turning the wolves in with the lambs. But it's good grief. It's wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
What year was that? 15?
Jason?
Was that 2015, Jason?
Yep.
Yeah. Didn't take long. 5 years to destroy what? How many? 100 years of...
Yeah.
That the Boy Scouts did.
It's what the enemy does. It is. It's what they do. And they have a multifaceted attack, you know, just like you mentioned earlier, John, about it, the churches. The churches have been infiltrated and accepting this, what is an abomination to God, under the guise of grace. And you cannot sin and get by. You can't. The wages of sin is death, and so you openly sin. Now, there's forgiveness there if you repent and seek forgiveness, but like the news article, Jason, openly and practicing? No, God's not going to bless that. Not at all. And those that approve of it, he's not going to bless either. And this is just one more. Church groups we've talked about, huge church groups, whether it's the Presbyterians or the Lutherans or the Southern Baptist Council. You know, they are moving further and further away from sound biblical doctrines and biblical principles, and they think it's under the guise of being more welcome and friendly and open and trying to bring the good news to the people, and it's all lies. It's all lies. No, it's just like you said, John, you preach the truth. And what does that do? Oh, it might not make the people feel good, but that's not what the gospel, that's not the first job of the gospel. It's to bring people to repentance. To repentance, to let them know that they've been sinning, and you have to repent from sin. And you have to know what sin is. And that's just not, for the most part, not preached, not taught.
Yep. Amen.
Well, yeah, it was 2014. January of 2014 is when they announced that they were going to allow openly gay boys into the Scouts, and they voted and they started accepting that in January 2014. So you can just see the downside from 2014 to 2015. Talk about warfare. I mean, it was, you know, it was, and it's kind of like when they go after the churches, they go after places, they go after good churches too. They go after where, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is working. And, you know, Boy Scouts of America was a good organization. It was, I mean, teaching boys how to be men. And it was a good place for a lot of people to go that didn't have fathers in the household, that didn't have fathers that had taken camping and teach them how to survive and teach them, you know, about life and survival skills. It was a good organization. It taught boys, transferred boys into men.
Yes.
What it did, and
yeah.
You know that's why they hated
absolutely.
It so much.
Back in the day, too, the Boy Scout troops. I remember there was one that had a assisted scoutmaster that turned out that was gay. You know, and basically, man, I tell you what, that old boy did not look so good after the rest of the troops met up with him on a jamboree one time, and that was the end of it. But that's how we used to take care of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. There's, well, it always reminds me of the fact that, you know, that's a gateway organization. I mean, there are many things that that we look at throughout our lives that lead us to where we are. That's one of those. That's one of those groups. I mean, it puts us in contact, whether it's your church or the Scouts, or there's a lot of organizations, and I guess you'd call them mentoring organizations, but with godly mentoring. I mean, we all can look back and see men or women in our lives that mentored us, that were responsible for where we are today, and who put time into the crafting of us. And you know, praise God for that. But they are out there being attacked, and they attempt to destroy them. I'm always reminded of, you were talking about the churches there, John, and I'm always reminded of these groups that say, well, you know, what can we do? What, you know, I mean, this will destroy us. We don't have enough people. But, you know, one of my favorite stories, and I've said it probably before, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood up and said, oh, King, our God can save us. We're not going to bow down to you. But even if he doesn't, we won't bow down to you.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
That's some serious mentoring, you know.
It is. And that conviction's been taken away. And that was one of that type of conviction, that type of dedication, used to be taught. Used to be taught in the churches, used to be taught in the Boy Scouts, when you have that. But, you know, when it's anything goes, and again, like I said earlier, it's a reflection of the state of this nation, the state of the moral decay, to where anything goes. No, you, like the country western song says, you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And that's what this country's done. It's stopped, for the most part, the people have stopped standing for truth, justice, the American way, the Bible, the true biblical principles. And the enemy has come in and just destroyed and been chipping away at that foundation, to where it's not. That, yeah, that conviction is rare. It might have been rare then in those three Hebrew boys' days, but it's even rarer today. And like you mentioned, John, you try to talk to people about it, even people that are so-called in the modern-day churches, and try to point them to the basis, the real reason for the problems. And it just, they can't comprehend it. It goes over their head.
Yeah, well, sin is pleasurable for a season, right?
Yes.
And thank God that there's still a remnant out there that supports a voice that's crying out in the wilderness. And we're not the only voice, but we still try to do our best to get the truth out, whether it's on Sunday or through the newsletter or on the air, whatever it is. And the only reason we can do that is because the remnant continues to faithfully support this ministry. So we thank you for being obedient to the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't know if you saw this. This was a breaking story that just came out early this morning, but CDC caught lying. Imagine that. Costa Mesa files court document to block federal relocations of 35 to 50 infected coronavirus patients to ill-prepared facility near millions of Californians. Basically, until 2 days ago, the CDC's official numbers claimed 15 infections total in the United States. But with the return of other affected evacuees from the Diamond Princess cruise ship, that number jumped to 35. But now we know that the real number is more likely somewhere around 70 by their own admittance, when you look at all of the different locations and the number of confirmed infected people. But it just seems interesting that the CDC planned to urgently move 35 to 50 infected patients from Travis Air Force Base to Costa Mesa, population center of 3 million. So what would be the purpose of moving confirmed infected patients from an area that's somewhat secluded and prepared for containment to an area that
has not been certified as containment. I mean, just the HVAC systems, if it's vent to the outside, well, that it's not contained. But anyways, what would be the purpose of that? Well, obviously, it would be to spread that disease through that large population. And I think we said it before, but most people have never even heard of it, is the Georgia Guidestones. If you haven't heard of them, I suggest you take a minute and look it up. But basically, it's the Ten Commandments of the New World Order, the Antichrist. And the first commandment is to reduce the population by about 90%. So, personally, I believe that's what they're trying to do. I think that those in the positions of authority that thought that they had this thing won with the, after the Obamanation administration and Hillary Clinton to be the final nail in the coffin, they're starting to see that, you know, their Agenda 21 plans crumbled. They're not going to make that one. So then they came out with Agenda 2030. Well, the way things are going, they're not going to make that one. And they would, you know, they've even openly admitted they'd rather have a meteor hit the earth and destroy civilization than to have Republican conservatives in charge of the country. I mean, this is, these people are admitting this.
Yes, they are. Now, whether the people listen and believe it and apply it, we'll see. Yeah, you know, the coronavirus, it continues to grow. If you look outside the states, whether it's Reuters or South China Morning Post or the Japan, what is it, Daily Sun or whatever that is, you look outside the states and the coronavirus is still growing. South Korea, they just told 2.5 million people stay home, and Japan, you know, their numbers are growing. It continues to grow. Hong Kong, I mean, all over the whatever you call it, the Far East, it is. And you know, they call them the Japan Games. The 2020 Olympics are scheduled for Japan this year. And there that hasn't been mentioned here locally a lot in the States, but overseas they're already, you know, saying, hey, is this something we're going to be able to do? Because you can't just change that location overnight. And, yeah, like you mentioned, John, that Diamond Princess cruise ship, over 600 cases that have been there, and they've, you know, some countries have taken their people off and flown them out. It's just, and you know, the economic impact, you see that a little bit more in some of the overseas news stories. Asia Pacific Airlines expecting a $28 billion loss. And in Japan, you look at the Japan papers and they talk about how the yen, the Japanese dollar, the yen is down, the dollar is up. In Japan and in many of these other countries, things are changing. Things are, you know, who knows? But like you started off with the Psalms 91 prayer, it's a time to be spiritually prepared, and as much as you can physically prepared as well.
Yeah, we haven't even begun to see the economic impact of what's going on. You know, Wuhan is not a small town. It's been compared to like the size of New York City, I believe, and 5 million people. To try to seal off that completely, and then that's also one of the largest, I believe, industrial towns that makes all the junk that we get here into this country. So the fact that all of these manufacturing facilities that used to be in America are in China now. You know, I guess nobody ever thought of the fact that, well, what happens if something happens in China and all of a sudden we can't get anything that was made here in the U.S. And the other thing that most people aren't talking about doesn't really affect our people because we don't believe in pharmakia, but bottom line is they're saying over 90% of all the ingredients that go into pharmaceuticals come from China. And
yeah, it's 98%.
I thought it was 98%. Yeah,
So even if it's not manufactured in China, the raw materials are coming from China, and now they're saying that all of those things are being cut off. So you think about that. You got a population that we've done stories and sermons regarding, most people over the age of, I think it was even like 30, are on at least two prescriptions, you know, a two out of, or a, was it five out of 10? Half the population is on some sort of, prescription. Boy, you talk about devastating, the American people. All of a sudden you cut them off from all of their, pharmakia, and, you will have, a zombie class of people that are, have been addicted to these drugs for so long. But, I guess the other thing, I was reading here this morning that Italy orders schools to close as deadly coronavirus spreads across the country. Schools and public places have been ordered to shut in 10 northern Italian towns in a bid to stop the deadly coronavirus spreading further. So, yeah, there's, if you look deeper than just the mainstream media, this is a bigger deal than what the mainstream media is telling us. Plus the fact that they've told hospitals to prepare nationwide, and I believe there was an executive order that was passed by the Department of Defense, because it could be a biological weapon, that stated that these military bases all across the country be prepared for large numbers of quarantine. So it's gone further.
Yeah, and it's what they're seeing too is you know, as far as like cutting the supply lines off, you know, raw materials basically that were coming out of China for a lot of the vitamins, minerals, and supplements like that, and a lot of it's the stuff that is not necessarily from there, but they process it there, they filter it there, they break it down, they separate it there, and they've been doing that for years. But you know, when you have something that costs $200 a kilo and it goes from $200 a kilo to $700 a kilo for a product, it makes it almost, you know, unobtainable. You know, especially when you got to buy 10 kilos at a time when you're talking in the raw materials market. You know, this week we've seen bottles on packaging. So like 2 ounce droppers went from 7 cents a piece to 70 cents a piece. I mean, you're talking, you know, a 1,000% increase. It went up tenfold in less than a week. Which, you know, 7 cents to 70 cents, okay, you got to add 70 cents onto your price. Well, that's a little bit different than when you're paying 70 cents for a bottle, and it goes from 70 cents to $7. So you have a $6.30 increase, you know, in a week. Then you have to add that $6.30 plus that 70 cents on top of it. So you have to add something that you're selling for $22. You got to add another $7 to it just to cover your cost.
Yeah, that's major.
Huge.
Yeah, you know,
yeah, I had a guy that called me this week from Wisconsin, and he's a mechanic out there. And you know, he said he was working on a couple GM vehicles, and he was doing brakes. He had a whole, you know, lineup. He's got a commercial shop. He's got a couple people working for him. They were doing brake jobs. He's trying to get brake pads. He's been calling around, trying to get brake pads. Brake pads are basically sold out for some of these vehicles, and the only place you can, that they were manufacturing them was China. What do you do when you can't get brake pads? You know, he went to the dealership, ended up going to the dealership, to warehouse, to warehouse, to warehouse, and he said that some of the stuff, they fit so many different vehicles, but he called the warehouse. They had 10,000 pair of brake pads. They said, don't worry about it. We got 10,000 brake pads that'll fit that vehicle. Within a week, we're gone.
Yeah, yep. It's that pipeline. See, that, you know, that we've been so used to with this global economy that's been pushed and promoted, and the merchants of the world have gotten rich over it, and now we're seeing that parts of that pipeline are drying up. You know, there's some things that are out there. But so many are not. You know, I had to, Jason, you turned me on to a radiator shop down there in Fort Collins. I had to put a radiator in a pickup truck, and I went down there and picked it up, and great guys, good prices, all that. But you know what? As I looked around the radiator shop, everything made in China. And so you're seeing that with the brakes. You're seeing that with auto parts. How many other things?
Almost all auto parts.
Yeah, ingredients and pharmaceuticals. And, you know, not as much food, but almost everything else. If you can conceive, almost everything Tractor Supply carries on the agricultural side. You know, not large-scale big John Deere and international stuff, but all the almost everything Tractor Supply carries made in China. You know, so many Walmart, so many things. I mean, we can do without a new T-shirt. You know, but when your tractor breaks down or your car breaks down and you can't get parts for it, when you can't get your drugs, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? Who are you going to turn to?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen this, Jason, but in a lot of the natural remedy stuff, it's starting to say China free on it.
I know. Yeah, you know, I noticed that. I was talking with our people, and we're going to start doing that on our labels, too.
Yep.
Yeah. If it's not made in the USA, it's China free.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Or either way. Could be both.
You know, they did get upset at
I want to tell people, you know, just because this coronavirus, it's spreading, and people are suffering from this cough, cold, runny nose. These flu bugs are nasty. I'll tell you what, this we had another chiropractor's office contact us this week, and they started getting the LBM, the vitamin C, a couple other things, but they said it's the only thing that's working against these viruses, and they're seeing, you know, just tremendous results with it. And they want the LBM, they want the vitamin C, and the vitamin D3. And they said that, I mean, and, you know, we're providing them with a really good price on stuff, and they're saying that it's cutting the symptoms of the flu, and, you know, people feeling just like crud where they can't get out of the house. It's cutting the symptoms down in at least half the time of somebody that's not taking it. And usually it's even better than that. But they said they haven't seen one person that has not at least cut it in half. So, you know, keep taking your vitamins. It's really important, especially this time of year.
Yeah, if you take that stuff right when you just start to feel it, too, it can whip it before it gets a hold of you. I've had a couple times, and I think it's because I've been around people at work, you know, that are hacking and coughing, and they're like, oh, yeah, I just had a meeting today I had to come to. And I go, well, that was nice of you to come to the meeting and spread your disease, you know. But even just this week, a couple times, I was starting to feel like the crud was trying to get a hold of me, and I just took some of that LDM and stuff, and... yeah, it just, you can feel it. It whips it, you know, pretty quick.
Amen. Amen. And no pharmaceuticals, no harmful side effects whatsoever. And Jason, I'm glad you mentioned it, that, you know, the vitamin C, the vitamin D3, should be a daily regimen. We recently traveled, flew down to Florida, had a wedding to go to, you know, for a week or two leading up to that, we were making sure everybody in the family was getting their vitamin C, getting their D3, you know, to maintain a good, healthy immune system. You know, those things are so important. You know, we like we mentioned earlier, we are to do all we can spiritually. We certainly read. We should start our day in prayer. And include that Psalms 91 prayer in there and pray that, believing it, and then do what we can physically. We have to do that. We have to eat as clean as we can. We can't all eat all 100% pure, super organics all the time. No, we can't. But you can eat clean. You can eat according to the food laws in the Bible. And just that, the health effects, you know, it's just, you may not see it right away, but you know, eating clean foods, not eating the unclean foods, it has an effect. It does. And then we have to do what we can physically, whether it's watching our weight or exercising or, you know, or doing what. Good clean water is important. It's taking responsibility. I like the old saying, you know, that we work and do these things like it's all depends on us. We pray knowing it all depends on God, but we have to do both of those. And you know, take what responsibility we can and do what we can to be healthy and to fight these things. Who knows? You know, that pipeline from that global economy may continue to just shrivel up and dry up. I know production. Yeah, you look overseas in the papers, and production in China is down over 80%. Over 80%.
You know, what's interesting is someone just texted me, and today's Bible reading plan includes Deuteronomy 28. Well, what's Deuteronomy 28? All of the blessings and curses. Verses 1 through 15 are all the blessings God will bestow upon His people if we do three things: keep His laws, commandments, and statutes. 16 through 68 are all of the curses that will come upon His people if we don't. And I think that's significant. I want to thank the gentleman who texted me regarding that. You know, that's kind of concerning in a lot of ways, too. You meet with these guys on this Bible, we call it a prayer breakfast on Wednesday mornings, and you know, the things that I share with them, they think, you know, it's from another world or another planet or something. Yes. But these are the basic things that Pastor taught us, you know, 25 years ago, and they'd never read Deuteronomy 28. So one time, I think it was just within the last several weeks, I finally just stopped the Bible study and said, look, you guys need to read Deuteronomy 28. We're going to read it right now. And we did, and they couldn't believe it. They never saw it before. They never heard it. Never heard a sermon on it. Never heard anything. But if you haven't read Deuteronomy 28, you need to read it, because it's concerning if you're not washed in the blood, if you haven't contacted the blood through proper immersion baptism, if you haven't gone into that watery grave and died to your old life, been born again of the water and the Spirit, been clothed with Christ, come up out of that water white as snow, all your sins haven't been forgiven, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and your name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life, well then, yeah, it's scary. And today's world's scary. But if you've been washed in the blood and contacted that precious, holy, cleansing, protective, healing blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you believe, have the faith to pray Psalm 91 and believe that those promises are relevant, then you got nothing to worry about. But that doesn't mean that we're not to be on guard and to do all that we can to bring as many as we can to repentance and salvation.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you get these they'll quote you John 3:16. I was driving yesterday, saw the on the side of a big semi truck. Gave him a big thumbs up. That's great. It is, but it's all the scriptures. It's not just John 3:16. Hosea 4:6. You forget my law, says God, and I'll forget your children. I know when I shared that with my prayer group on a Wednesday morning, they looked at me that way, John. Like what? You know, you're speaking Swahili or something, and you know, just that. And that was certainly one of the appeals of this ministry, the appeals of our pastor's teaching so many years ago, was because he would do that. He would show you that and explain that to you. So what does that mean to you? You know, are you going to believe the Bible? If you're going to believe Scripture, Hosea 4:6, you know, you forget my law, I'll forget your children. And when we look around, we see that our children are in a mess and have been for generations. Why is that? Why? Well, because of this. Well, we have to have a war on drugs. We have to have a war on... We have to accept more LGBTQDFPs. And no. It's because we forgot His law. We forgot His law. And that's what it is. But even in that blessing is there, just like in Deuteronomy 28, those first... You know, when you read it, it's, yeah, listen to my word and do it. And then you'll be blessed. And this is some of the ways you'll be blessed. And boy, you just read all through it. But if you don't, you'll be cursed. So it's a choice. It's a choice if you diligently obey. If you obey. But the people have forgotten that. No, they want to feel good. They want to hear God loves you. God loves you. And that's all they want to hear. And it's just, there's a little bit more to it than just God loves you. He does.
but it's a godly love and a fatherly love that people are unfamiliar with today. But the blessing's there as well, even in Hosea 4:6. You know, God says, you forget my law, I'll forget your children. Well, guess what? Guess what happens when you remember his law? Guess what happens when you fulfill his law like Christ did? When you share one another's burdens, therefore fulfilling the law of Christ, guess what? He remembers your children. Ties right in with what you said earlier, John, about 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's there. The answers are there. The refuge, the stronghold is there. If the people will turn to it and do what the word says, but they're not taught for the most part to do it. Well, guys, we're wrapping up this this coffee with the Wranglers this Saturday morning, and didn't know if anybody had any closing comments before we invite our remnant to church. And anything you guys want to leave the remnant with this morning?
Go ahead, John.
No, you go ahead, Tim.
We've just been talking about here all day what this deal with China and this deal with the health and a lot of this other stuff is what we've been talking about is the furnishing of our lives for good works, and that just takes us back to 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and that covers the whole spectrum of our Christian walk, whether, body, mind, and soul. And we just got to get our furniture in order and continue to make it all work together for God's glory. That's what I had.
Yeah. The insanity just, you say, I can't believe that we said that, I don't know how many times, but bottom line is anymore, you can believe anything. There's actually a bill going through the Democrat-run House that I think it's called Return Home, something like that. But basically what they're proposing, and there's 40 Democrats that have signed onto it, including Bernie Sanders, but they want to import anyone who was exported out of this country over the last 24 years. They want to give them the opportunity to be flown back home, they call it, into our country at our expense. Everyone who's been deported from this country over the last 24 years would get a free ride, airplane ride, courtesy of the U.S. taxpayers, back into the U.S. to live here, so to come back home. Well, I got news for you. You say, well, that can't happen. How many times have we said that? The reality is, if we lose the House and the Senate and the presidency, not only can it happen, it will happen. And their ultimate goal is to turn this country into an asshole country, just as our president said, just like the rest of the third world countries.
That's so, their goal. That's what the destroyers do. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's called the New Day Forward or something like that. They've done it.
Yeah, they're
proposing it. They are, and it's just unfathomable. It's unimaginable, but there it is. They tell you what they want to do. Some presidential candidates tell you, "Hey, if you have a gun at home, you're stupid." They tell you that. They tell you that they want to take their guns. They tell you that, hey, if you elect me, we will make your church accept LGBTQDFPs. Or we'll shut you down. They're telling you that. They're not hiding it. It's right there in the open. It comes back to that, how many times do we read in the Word, choose you this day who you're going to serve. And God is not going to have lukewarm Christians. He's going to, just like His Word says, I'd rather you were hot or cold. And He's going to make the people be hot or cold for Him, one way or the other. And the choice is up to you. The choice is up to the people to choose. To choose.
Yeah. It was encouraging. There was a pastor that went to the Virginia House of Representatives, which is run by demon rats, and he opened up in prayer, and his prayer was pretty powerful. It included protecting the innocent, you know, against abortion, and it was against gay marriage and all that, and several of the Democrats walked out in, you know, in a huff, and finally the head, whatever, that runs the deal slammed the gavel and stopped the prayer. They were chanting, is this a prayer or a sermon? And the pastor said, well, number one, I'm a pastor. You asked me to come to open this assembly. What did you expect? You know, but it was just refreshing to see that this pastor was defending the truth and didn't really care about the persecution of the demon rats. So amen. Let that be a lesson to us all. If we get the opportunity to share the truth, then we better do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, you can get some more truth if you come to church with us tomorrow. You can do it right on your computer at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That'll be 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And you can join us. Click on the live video stream, and you will get more truth. You will, because it will be teachings from the Bible. You can bet your boots on that and throw in your spurs. So we encourage you to join us for fellowship, for worship, for Bible learning, for communion. And so you can do that. We have to do that. It's part of who we are. We are we have to have fellowship with like-minded believers. It recharges our batteries. It encourages us. It's like eating that daily, having that daily bread. You need to have it. Well, men, thanks so much, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.